Rambam says that there are two ways for a Jew to approach his relationship with the world around him while he's in exile. There's two ways for a Jew to relate to the situation of exile. One way that a Jew relates to the situation of exile is that when it comes to Torah mitzvahs, the exile has no power over it. This is something that every Jew is supposed to live their life that way. That no matter what the situation, the exile, when it comes to Torah mitzvahs, the rules of the countries that we're in, or the people that are around us, have no power over it. As the Friedrich Rebbe said, quoting the Rebbe Rashab, that the neshamas of the Jewish people were never sent into exile. When it comes to Torah mitzvahs, we have no bosses, no one can tell us what to do. When it comes to Torah mitzvahs, we're above the limitations of exile. However, what happens when it comes to all other matters? All other matters, we find even in halacha, it says dina de malchusa dina, that we do have to take into consideration the laws of the host countries that we find ourselves in. And so a person's conduct when it comes to matters not directly affecting Torah mitzvahs would be that he has to operate within the constraints of the laws and customs of the place that he's in. That's just the way it is. And even if he wants to have wield any influence in that country, any influence that he might attempt to wield on the goyim around him, he has to do so within the natural limitations of his situation of the place that he's in. The other way that a Jew could approach and relate to the exile around him is in a way that he's totally above the exile. He's totally above it all. Not only when it comes to matters that relate directly to Torah mitzvahs, in general, every area of life, he's totally above it all. That's it. Exile has absolutely no impact, no effect. The rules, the laws, and not only do they not limit and constrain his service of Hashem, not only in Torah mitzvahs, but in all matters, because ultimately a Jew is supposed to serve Hashem in everything that a Jew does. But the Jew actually has the power to influence because he's above the exile and not limited and constrained by the exile. He actually has the power to wield influence over the Goyim to the point of influencing even the leaders of the Goyim, compelling them to change their laws when necessary. That's what... So the Rebbe says, that is the Hanhaga of Mardukah. Most Jews, God-fearing Jews, they learn Torah, they do mitzvahs, they don't let the exile affect them. But when it comes to issues like Ahasuerus' feast, when it comes to issues that have to do with the customs of the land and living within the existing infrastructure and laws of the country, so everybody goes along with what the laws of the country are, at least when it comes to areas that do not directly affect Torah mitzvahs. All other areas, they deal with the exile as a reality, that's it. And the laws of the country that they're in, that's a reality that we have to deal with. Mordechai's Anhaga was, and similarly this was Anhaga Yehuda in Mitzrayim, Mordechai's Anhaga was, le-yichrav le-yishnachra, le-kam le-zomimim. It had absolutely no effect on him. He was completely unaffected, not moved, not budged. By anything, it doesn't matter that the king made a law that everyone has to bow to Haman. It was completely irrelevant to what the law is, whether it was actual Avodah Zarah or not actual Avodah Zarah. It was completely irrelevant. Mordechai is completely above, operates on a level that's completely above the constraints and the limitations of the natural order of God. That is really what is meant when we say that the difference between the will of Haman and the will of Mordechai. What is Haman's will? What is Mordechai's will? What does Mordechai want out of life? What Mordechai wants out of life is... What Mordechai wants out of life is that Mordechai... That Mordechai is serving God on the level, as it says in the Mishnah, that a Jew, I was not created except to serve my Maker. The Jews' whole existence, not only when they're busy with Torah mitzvah, But their whole existence, I was not created for anything else except to serve my Maker. And since I'm being recreated every second, then it means every second of my life has to be occupied with divine service, even when I am not involved in activities that are directly related to Torah mitzvah. That explains, this is why Mordechai is called Ish Yehudi. Ish Yehudi, the Gemara says, what does Yehudi mean? This is the first time the word Yehudi appears in Tanakh. What does it mean? So the Gemara says that it means that someone who's kaifer and avodah zarah. Someone who's kaifer, someone who denies avodah zarah is called a Yehudi. So the Rebbe explains that Mordechai, that kaifer avodah zarah is actual avodah zarah, that which is falls under the actual legal definition of avodah zarah, real idolatry, real idol worship. But then there are things which are not actual idol worship, but they're still called avodah zarah, which we actually find in the Gemara. That the Gemara says that avodah zarah can refer to an avodah shezara loy, a service which is foreign, a service which is foreign to him. Meaning, and as it's explained in Chassidus, that everything that exists in the world is either you do it, you use it to serve Hashem, or when you're occupied with it for any other reason, on a certain level, you're denying Hashem. So everything ultimately besides the service of Hashem falls under the general heading of Avodah Zarah. Ish Yehudi, Mordechai was the one who denied Avodah Zarah, means anything that is not the service of Hashem, Mordechai has no interest in. The desire of Haman is the opposite. The desire of Haman is to self-indulgence, to enjoy everything that this world has to offer, and not be bound by the service of Hashem. So what does it mean that it's impossible to fulfill the will of both? So the Rebbe explains that the will of Haman doesn't necessarily mean even to do evil. The will of Haman could be something even more subtle. The will of Haman could mean even the desire to be a frum Jew. I want to be a frum Jew. I want to learn Torah. I want to do mitzvahs. But I also want to enjoy myself. There are a lot of things that the Torah permits, right? Things which are not directly related to Torah mitzvahs. When I'm not busy with Torah mitzvahs directly, I want to be able to have some time for myself. I want to have my own life. Because it never says, you know, okay, a significant portion of my life, a significant portion of my life I'm willing to devote to God and to serving God, but I still want to have a life too. I mean, I want to have a life, I want to have a family life, I want to have a career, I want to enjoy life, I want to have a lot of things that I want for myself. I mean, you know, and I'm willing to fulfill my obligations in Torah mitzvahs. No problem. In a subtle form, that's also Ritzon Haman. Because what I'm saying is, that there are parts of my life, there are moments of my existence where I don't want to be occupied with serving Hashem. The reality is, the will of Mordechai is that, being that the reality is that I was not created for any other purpose except to serve Hashem, and I am being recreated every second, that I am being created, and I am existing only to serve Hashem each and every second of my existence, and the desire to do anything other than that already falls under the category of the desires of Haman. The desires of Mordechai is exclusively the divine service and nothing else. The Rebbe says that the lashon of the Medrash is benoyet sheba olam, that in the custom of the world it's impossible to fulfill two opposing desires. The reason why you can't fulfill two opposing desires is because due to the limitations of the world, either you're totally involved in divine service, or there are times when you're not involved with the divine service and you're dealing with the world. Even mitzad the Eibushter, the second shot in the Medrash says that even mitzad the Eibushter only breaks those rules, laws of love. Even mitzad the Eibushter is capable of transcending those laws and breaking those laws. He only does so laws of love in the future. However, according to the Gemara seems to indicate that it is possible. Even Bisman HaZeh, to fulfill the will of Haman and the will of Mordechai. The Gemara meant says that Kitzayin Yesh V'Ish is to fulfill both the will of Haman and the will of Mordechai, and the Gemara doesn't seem to impose any restrictions, doesn't seem to suggest that there's any conflict or any problem with that. What the Gemara is indicating is that a person, even in Golos, has the power to elevate himself above the Golos, so that he is operating on the level of the Eibush, the Lord's love, even while he is in Golos. So, therefore, it's possible for a person to be totally involved in the divine service while being in complete, while being involved in the world at the same time, and dealing, being in Golos at the same time as being totally above. It's possible to be both. You can be totally above the Golos and totally operating from within the Golos at the same time. And so the Rebbe says, this is the true significance of Mardukhai Le'yichnam Le'yishtach Le'kam Le'zomimenu. And the real significance of Ayigash Yehuda, that Elof, that Yehuda approached Yosef and said to him, give him up, or I'll take you out. But what's happening here is, this is the Kayach that we have, to be able to transcend the Golos, the Kayach that every Jew has, to be able to completely transcend the Golos, to such a degree that they're operating on the level of the Eibush to L'Osilo, to the point that they are not only not bound and limited by the laws of the land, but they have the power to influence the leaders of those countries to actually change those laws. That power, the Rebbe says, comes from Yehuda and Mordechai. That is the power that we have been given, that's been given to us. The Rebbe says, so what's news? What is that? How does that relate to us nowadays? The Rebbe says, until now, even if a Jew would attempt to transcend the exile, there were still a lot of outside circumstances that made it extremely difficult. A Jew did not have true freedom of movement. There were all kinds of laws and decrees and persecutions that really made it very difficult for a Jew to exercise their power, because their movement and their access was extremely restricted and limited. But nowadays, that has changed completely. Nowadays, not only are Jews in this country, and in most countries, free to practice their Yiddishkeit without any restraint whatsoever, even in countries that previously did impose constraints, have now relaxed those constraints, and now Jews have freedom to observe the Yiddishkeit there as well. And not only are they not hindering us, but the nations of the world are actually helping us. The governments actually provide government assistance to Jewish activities, organizations, schools, and so on. And this is not only in the United States of America, this includes Russia as well. But the same countries that previously opposed and restricted and created tremendous obstacles and difficulties when it came to observing this country, those countries are now not only allowing it, but assisting it, helping. So a Jew now has access, and a Jew now has the freedom of movement, that he can actually now, every Jew, the Rebbe says, well, it's only a question of desire. That is the circumstance. That is the reality. Those are opportunities. It doesn't mean that it gets handed to you on a silver platter. It doesn't mean that you're going to go home today and the President of the United States is going to call you up and say, oh, are you Jewish? Please tell me, is there anything I can do for you? Any laws you'd like me to enact? It's not going to work that way. What it means is there's an opportunity. We live in a time where we have tremendous opportunities, and it is those opportunities that are the measure of how much the world has changed. So when we talk about opening your eyes and seeing the new reality, that makes sense. The only thing left is just to open his eyes and see how the whole world is standing and waiting and demanding that the Jew should be ready for redemption. In other words, people think that redemption is, I mean, obviously the ultimate redemption will be that way. The question is, how do you get to there? But people think that redemption begins when everyone, you know, when Goyim are chasing you in the street, begging you to be your servant and wanting to help you out. The Rebbe says the way you get there is that before that time, there is a world in which we have the opportunity to get the Goyim to serve us, but we have to take the initiative. The opportunity is there, but we have to take the initiative We have to take advantage of the opportunity, and which thereby expressing our ability to transcend the exile. And when we completely transcend the exile, this is what leads to the exile completely being phased out of existence and entering into a world of complete redemption. So what we have is redemption in the sense that we do not have to be bound or limited by exile, meaning that we have opportunities that of redemption, which we never had previously. It's very interesting to note that in this sikha, the Rebbe connects, uses the story of Mordechai as an example. The Rebbe connects it to Purim. It's also interesting that the first time that Rebbe ever said this, the first time that Rebbe ever suggested the idea that bringing the redemption was up to us, was actually on a Purim. Purim Tashim Mem Zayin. The general that ever said that, the general that ever spoke that Avodah is up to the Chassidim, the Rebbe's did help. But they did at Geula, that actually bringing the redemption, making the redemption a reality, is something that we have to do. The Rebbe said on Purim Tashim Mem Zayin, the Rebbe spoke then, and the Rebbe said that, how come we find that the Gemara which was written close to 2,000 years ago, it says that a person should see the world as if it's completely equal, and by doing one mitzvah, they can tip the scale. The Rambam, which was written over 800 years ago, says the same thing. Brings the halacha that a person should see the world as if it's completely equal, and if they do one mitzvah, they tip the scale. The Rebbe says, despite the fact that these statements have been around for a long time, we don't find anywhere in history that any Jewish leader should make such a big storm out of it. We don't find anywhere that any Jewish leader should make such a big storm out of it and keep repeating this phrase over and over and over again, that one mitzvah could actually bring redemption and salvation to the world. Until our generation, obviously referring to himself, the Rebbe said, we never found that a Jewish leader should make such a big deal out of this Rambam, out of this piece of Gemara. It was known, everyone knew it. As if it's up to each and every person to see the world, to see the whole process of redemption as if it's up to them. The Rebbe explains that what has happened is that traditionally the way Hasidim related to the concept of redemption was that Hasidim always knew that they had to follow orders and they had to do their avodah. They had to do whatever the Rebbe told them was their avodah. Bringing the redemption was something that the Rebbe was going to take care of. Hasidim always knew that the Rebbe is going to bring the redemption. Their job is to just do their avodah. So whatever the Rebbe tells them they have to do, that's their avodah. But it's not their job to worry about the big picture of how it's going to come, and who's going to bring it, and what's going to happen. That was the business of the Rebbe. The Rebbe says that in our generation, that's not good enough. The Rebbe says in those days, when they had total bittul and iskashas to the Rebbe, and so they could rely on the fact that this object... What? The Rebbe says, back in the earlier generations, they had more bittul and iskashas to the Rebbe. Because they had more bittul and iskashas, therefore, they could rely that the Rebbe would do the work for them. They just had to do their avodah. They could rely that the Rebbe would bring the redemption. However, in our time, the Rebbe says, that is lacking. And therefore, you can't rely that the Rebbe is going to do the work for you. And everybody has to now take on the responsibility of doing their part in bringing the redemption. The redemption has now become the responsibility of each and every individual. The Rebbe continues, so here the Rebbe seems to be indicating that it's purely negative reason. But the fact is that the Rebbe continues and the Rebbe indicates that actually on the other hand, like everything else, there are things that the Chitzonius are negative, but the Pnimius, it expresses something more positive. The Rebbe says, actually, the Rebbe continues and says that we're living in a whole new world. Therefore, each and every Jew now has the capacity to bring the redemption. Until now, every Jew knew that it wasn't in their capacity to bring the redemption. The only one who had the power to do that is the Rebbe. But nowadays, the Rebbe says the world has changed, and now each and every Jew has the capacity to bring the redemption, and therefore they have the responsibility to bring the redemption. The Rebbe says, how do you see the world change? How do you see the world change? And here again, the Rebbe uses an example from the situation with the Goy. The Rebbe says, the way you see the world change is by Shabbat Mitzvah B'nai Na'af. The Rebbe says, it used to be the Rambam, the Halach has been, ever since the Torah was given to Moshe Rabbeinu, the Jewish people had an obligation to see that their Gentile neighbors keep the Shabbat Mitzvah B'nai Na'af. And yet, ever since the Jews have been in exile, we see that nothing has really been done in that direction. When the Jewish people had control of Eretz Yisrael, so it was in their power. But since we've been in exile, we don't see any attempt by Jews throughout the generations, except in singular instances, to really try to influence their Gentile neighbors to keep Shem and Spinaynet. The reason for this is obvious, because if you did, you would die. In other words, we were living in societies that if we were trying to do anything to influence people when it came to matters of religion, it was a sakana. To try to influence Christians, Muslims, or any other society that we were in, to try to convince them to follow the Jewish code of law, even as it relates to God, would have been a sakana. The Rebbe says nowadays, not only is it not a sakana, but the Rebbe says that if you approach a non-Jew and teach them about the Shemitz B'nai Na'af, not only will they be, not only will they not cause you any harm, but the Rebbe says they'll actually be receptive. The Rebbe says not only will they actually be receptive, but they'll be grateful. To the point, the Rebbe says, that when given an opportunity to do a favor for you, in return for the fact that you shared with them the Shabbat B'nai Na'af, they will do so. If given the opportunity to return the favor, they will return the favor. Out of gratitude that you took out the time to share with them information about Shabbat Mitzvah B'nai Na'af. The Rebbe says, and the Rebbe says, I want to hear that it doesn't mean that you'll tell a guy about Shabbat Mitzvah B'nai Na'af and they're going to change their life immediately. The Rebbe says, no, it's like any other educational process, it's a process. They have to learn, they have to grow, they have to develop. It doesn't happen overnight. But the fact is they're receptive and they will even be looked for opportunities to express gratitude. The Rebbe says, how do you know that what I'm saying is true? He says, try it out. Try it out and see what happens. And you'll see if what I'm telling you is true. So here, again, the Rebbe indicated that this itself, the situation of how our relationship with the Goyim has changed, is the ultimate indication of the fact that we have reached a point where redemption is something that each and every person could achieve. Here again, in the Sikha Vayigash, we find that every using the story of Purim as an illustration for our times, that each and every person has the capacity to transcend the exile and achieve a state of Geula, not only for himself, but for the entire world. And obviously the reason why the Rebbe is using the relationship with the Goyim as the simon is because according to the Rambam, in Halacha, the main defining characteristic of exile in Halacha is being under the control of the guy. According to the Rambam, in Halacha, the only thing that the main transition from exile to redemption is the throwing off of the Shibud Malchus. That is the main transition from exile to redemption. All the other things that come later, those are already later. Revelations, miracles, other things. But according to the Rambam, really, according to the Rambam, Geula could simply be a Jewish king shows up and frees all the Jewish people from the rule of any other rulers and any other kings. And that's it, and he's already fulfilled the job of Mashiach. So, because the most basic symptom of exile is the rule and control of the Goyim over us, so the ultimate sign of how close we are to redemption and how much each and every individual is capable of achieving redemption, is the measure of that is by the degree to which each and every individual is capable of transcending control of the Goyim over themselves, and in fact exercising influence and control over the Goyim. That is the ultimate measure in terms of Bederach HaTeva, in terms of the nature of the world. Obviously, we're talking about spiritual revelation. That's another area which we spoke about on other occasions. But in terms of the Teva of the world, if you want to see redemption as a reality, the place to see it in is primarily in our relationship with the Goyim, and the fact that each Jew today, if they want to, has the capacity to influence the destiny of whole nations and whole countries, influence their laws, their legal process, and influence their leaders, and ultimately, and even influence each and every individual non-Jew on the local level. And the Rebbe says, this is the ultimate indication that we each have the power. The Rebbe says, what we need is the desire. We have to open our eyes and see that the entire world is ready and waiting for us to be ready. The Rebbe has to open his eyes and see that we're trying, and we should send Moshiach immediately now.